I don't want you to be nervous because I know it's late, so we're going to try to put a lot of shortening in this. I don't want to wear you out. Sister Karen's already did a beautiful job, and I don't know what I could say to add to that, but we have a few thoughts upon our heart that we're going to share with you, and then we're going to come to a close just as soon as God allows us to. They say that God's still dead. Who assassinated God? What coroner was called? Who signed God's death certificate? Who was so well acquainted with the one that died that they could identify the deceased? In what obituary column did you find his name? And why wasn't I notified? I'm a member of the family. God is a spirit. He does not die by assassination. He does not die by pronouncement. He does not die by denial. He does not die, my friend, at all, because he's a spirit. If you try to destroy him with a fire, he'll refuse to burn. If you try to destroy him with water, he'll walk on it. If you try to destroy him with a tempest, he'll rebuke it. If you try to destroy him with a law, you can't find any fault in him. If you try to destroy him with the seal of an empire, he'll break it. If you try to destroy him by putting him in a grave, he'll get out of the grave. And if you try to destroy him by ignoring him, it won't be very long you'll hear from him. And he'll say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He has rest for every individual. Now, I was thinking about Sister Karen and the wonderful things that she had to say. And we're thinking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that he went through. I couldn't help but think of the scripture in the book of Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and verse number 9, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So that's what this is all about. Jesus on the cross tasted death for every man. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, he tasted death for me. He tasted death for you. He tasted hell for us so we wouldn't have to go. One of the most common cuss words in our world today is H-E-L-L. People don't realize what they're saying. They say it because they're disgusted. But my friend, if a person really knew what they was talking about, they wouldn't even be using that word as a byword. Friend, we live in a society today that seems like people don't care that there's going to be a hell one day, that there's going to be a judgment. People today seemingly don't care about tomorrow. They don't care about eternity. They have a light attitude concerning the things of God. But my friend, one of these days, it's going to be a serious fact when people die without God and they wake up in a devil's hell. Oh, the judgment shocks of eternity. I know when you talk about hell, people often say, well, you can't scare people into getting saved. No, but it's good to warn people where they're headed if they fail to repent, if they fail to get right with God. I tell you, 40-some years ago, I went to a tent meeting, and there was a preacher, and guess what he was preaching? Hell, fire, and brimstone. I'm still saved. He must have scared me real good. Today makes 26 years since my nephew got saved, and guess what I was preaching on? I was preaching on hell. He must have got scared real good. I don't know about you, but I'm going down the road, and there's a bridge out. I'm glad there's some caution lights. I'm glad there's a barrier. Amen. I'm glad there's a man out there with a flag. Amen. And that's what I'm doing. Friend, if you're lost without God, you're on your way to hell. And I stand here before you with a red flag warning you that destruction is around the corner. And so I just want to talk to you for a little while about some things that will not be in hell. Some things that will not be in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature that we love so well. No comforts of home, music, and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten that long, dreary night. No love nor peace, not one ray of light. No mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace. No water, oh God, what a terrible place. The pains of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's ease. There is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know. For God in his word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers and swearers and haters of God. Sinners who refuse to be washed in the blood. Christ rejecters while here on earth trod. Murders and gamblers, drunkards and liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Friend, hell's a place of death. It's a place of denial. It's a place of demons. It's a place of destruction. It's a place of defeat. Yes, friend, what is hell? According to Matthew 10:28, he said, fear not them which kill the body, but rather fear God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's just talk good for a few minutes about some things that will not be there. No beauties of nature that we love so well. Oh, this is a beautiful world that God's created. I love to see the mountains. I love to see the rivers. I love to see the creek. I love to see the waterfalls. I love to see the ocean. As I travel this country, oh, I can't help but think about the beauties of this old world. Amen. But there's not going to be no beauties of nature down in hell. There's not going to be no comfort down in hell. No, this rich man that went there in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, he couldn't find any comfort whatsoever. And the Bible says in Luke 16:25, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. There's absolutely no comfort for those that leave this world unprepared to meet God. You know something else that won't be in hell? There won't be any children whatsoever down in the devil's hell. You know, children brighten our life. They brighten our days. Somebody said, why will there be no children in hell? Because the Bible says in Romans 4:15, because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there's no transgression. And the Bible said sin is not imputed when there is no law. Yeah, a little child might tell a lie. They may do things that's wrong, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now, there's people that's went off the deep edge, and they're saying that little babies also go to hell. But I beg the difference. When David's baby died, friend, he was confident that it wasn't in hell, because he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him. Thank God. And you know something else, friend? There's not going to be any Christians in hell. Think about that. No blood-washed saint of God is going to be in hell. Not one child of God, not one redeemed soul is going to be in hell. Amen. No holy people down in hell. Not one righteous person, not one Christian. Amen. Not one saved individual. If your mother was a Christian, she's not going to be there. If your daddy was a Christian, he's not going to be there. If your companion was a Christian, she's not going to be there. He's not going to be there. If your child was a saved individual, then my friend, they're not going to be there. You know what else? There's no peace down in hell. Jesus plainly told us in the word of God, he said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Thank God, Jesus got a peace that's uncompared to anything that the world has to offer. And the Bible says in Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. You know something else? There's no light down there. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 2:17, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. You know what else? There's absolutely no ease down in hell. Think about it, friend. The pain is so severe. The torment is so great. There's not going to be one moment of ease down in hell, though you're suffering the very pains of hell, there's no rest there. No way you can find any rest whatsoever. And guess what? There's no pain pills. There's no morphine. There's no drugs that can put you under and get you out of your misery. There's no laughter down in hell. Hell's a place, friend, where people are tormented, and all the laughter is going to be turned into weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Think about it, friend. The laughter of little children or the chuckles of adults will never be heard in this place that the Bible calls hell. And you know something else I found out? There's no water down there. There's no Gatorade. There's no Pepsis. There's no beer. There's no wine. There's no whiskey. Amen. This man that went there, he said, send Lazarus and have him to dip the tip of his finger in water and bring me that fake finger and just touch it to the end of my tongue because I'm tormented in this flame. You know what? He couldn't find any relief. Think about it, friend. Have you ever suffered? Have you ever been in pain and you absolutely couldn't do nothing to get any relief whatsoever? I've been there. That's a terrible condition to be in. There's nothing you can do to get just a moment of rest, a moment of ease, a moment of release. I don't want to go to a place like that. You know what else, friend? There's absolutely no mercy down in hell. I'm glad this is a day of mercy. This is a day of grace. But friend, if you leave this world unprepared to meet God, friend, you're not going to find one bit of mercy in the next life. I'm glad in this life, the Bible lets us know God is full of compassion. He's full of mercy. He's tender-hearted, but there's not going to be any mercy in the life to come. If you want mercy, you got to call on God while you're on this side of eternity. You know what else? There's no pity down in hell. There's no one to have pity on you. I'm glad that 40-some years ago that God had pity on my never-dying soul, that God dealt with me and showed me that I was a lost sinner, that I needed to get saved. But friend, if you wait till you wake up in hell, there's absolutely no pity whatsoever. And another thing I want to say, there's nobody receiving a pardon down in hell. And about 1830, a man by the name of George Wilson, amen, killed a government employee who was caught in the very act of robbing the mail. Wilson was tried and he was sentenced to be hanged. The president of the United States' name was Andrew Jackson at that time. And you know what he did? He sent George Wilson a pardon. But something very strange happened. Something happened that had never happened before. George Wilson refused to accept this pardon, and they didn't know what to do, because up until this time, everybody that had ever received a pardon always gladly accepted it, but not with George Wilson. And so, my friend, they called upon the Supreme Court, and there was a man, Court Chief Justice Marshall. He's the one that wrote the opinion, and I'd like to read to you what he said. He said, a pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it be refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. And he was hanged. Somebody said, well, George Wilson was crazy. George Wilson was foolish for not accepting the pardon. Well, friend, Jesus signed your pardon. Amen. He made a way that you could escape the damnation of hell. So I ask you, why would you refuse it? Why would you say no when there's been a way made? Thank God Jesus made a way that we can escape the torments of hell. Amen. He died in our place. Amen. He died that I could have life, that I could have it more abundantly. He died that you could have life and you could have it more abundantly. You know something else? There's no grace down in hell. There's no grace. I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's that? It's unmerited favor. I didn't deserve to be saved. I didn't deserve for God to have mercy on me and save me by his grace. Amen. And all of you who are saved, you can say the same thing. You didn't deserve to be saved. You didn't have no rights. Amen. But God had mercy. God's grace saved us. Thank God forever. But no grace is found down in hell. the song in the Evening Light songbook lets us know there's coming a day that the day of grace will be past. Oh, I'm glad I got in before the day of grace was past. Friend, you better be careful. You better not keep procrastinating. You better quit putting off salvation, because I believe it's not going to be very long that the day of grace will be past. It's going to be too late to get saved once the day of grace is past. You know what? There's no liberty in this life. Even this morning, you've got some choices. You have a choice whether you're going to get saved or whether you're going to not get saved. I mean, you had a choice. Nobody made you come here. You chose. Thank God, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad every sinner I'm glad you came out. Amen. I'm glad you're sitting here. You had a choice. But you know what? Once you're down in hell, you don't have no more freedom. You don't make no more choices. Amen. When you turn God down for the last time, friend, you've made the last choice you'll ever make. Amen. I'm glad for the liberty we have in Christ Jesus as the people of God. Somebody said, I feel sorry for you saints. You're in bondage and you can't do this and you can't do that. I'm not in bondage. I love this way of living. Amen. This way I want to live. Nobody's making me do this. It's a perfect law of liberty. I used to think it was bondage. I looked at my mom and dad. I looked at saints of God. I said, "Why? I don't know why they'd want to live like that." But one day I got my want to change. Amen. God came in and he did a miracle. Amen. He gave me old time salvation. Amen. That's something else. There's no salvation down in hell. Absolutely no salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is deliverance. Amen. God delivers again. But down in hell, friend, there's no deliverance whatsoever. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse number 2, he said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But the day of salvation will be over one day after a while. You know something else? And I'm just about done. The presence of God will never be found in hell. Oh, even before I got saved, friend, I knew when the presence of God was in a place. Amen. That's something about the presence of God. Even sometimes I wasn't a sinner, but I'd wipe the tears from my eyes. Amen. I was out in sin, but something about the presence of God. There's nothing like the old time presence of God. Thank God when we can feel the presence of God. And you're here and you're not saved and you can feel the presence of God. That's God saying, I've got something better for you. Amen. He does have something better for you. And you know what else? I was sitting here a while ago and I looked around, and from where I was sitting, I could see 7 exit signs. There's 2 here and there's 2 there and there's 1 back there in the hall and there's a couple here. I saw about 7 exit signs. That's another thing. Not going to be any exit signs down in hell. If you arrive there, friend, there's no possibility of you ever leaving throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Somebody said, how long do you think heaven's going to last? It's going to be forever. 10 million years, we're just getting started. Amen, 10 more million years. It's no closer to the end. Friend, I hate to tell you this, but hell's gonna be the same way. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Do you know God? In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Do you know God? And then he went on, he didn't stop there. And that obey not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you? If not, friend, you're in this category. Them that know not God, and them that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go through some of them commandments. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Do you obey that one? They that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. When you've been in hell 10 million years and look towards the future, you'll only be able to see eternity stretching on and on without any hope. Oh, friend, you do not want to go. And so if all the fires that ever were and all the fires that ever shall be was contracted in one flame of fire, it'd be like a painted picture on the wall compared to what hell's going to be like. If all the water in this world was converted into ink and all the steel was converted into pens, amen, half of the horrors of hell could never be portrayed. This leads us to the question. Matthew 23:33. how can you escape the damnation of hell? If you're lost, if you're without God, how is it that you can escape the damnation of hell? Jesus tells us. He said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You're going to perish. You're going to go to hell if you don't repent. Repentance is more than a change of mind. It's more than a change of heart. It's a change of action. Have you been made a new creature in Christ? Can you point back to the time when old things passed away and behold, all things become new? How shall you escape the damnation of hell? The Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You've got to believe. You got to be born again. It comes down to this question. The end of this old world is going to come to a close very soon. And Revelation 20:15 says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. That's why we're here this morning, to warn you. There is a lake of fire. There is a heaven you could gain. There's a hell for you to shun. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As the pianist comes, we get ready. I'm getting ready to have prayer right now. Raising your hand won't save you. But if one would be one in the audience, just lift their hand up and say, pray for me. I don't want to die in this condition. I'm not going to come back and take you by the arm during the service. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I wonder if you're that concerned about your soul. You slip your hand up and say, I'd like to be remembered in prayer because I know enough about the Bible. I wouldn't want to die in the condition I'm in. Would you want to? Want us to pray for you? I believe God sees every hand that goes up, don't you? He sees behind that hand there's an individual who's going to be in eternity in either heaven or hell. Father in heaven, you're looking down on us. You see each one of us as we actually are. And we just pray in the name of Jesus while we sing the song of invitation. Lord, that you'd help precious ones who've been here and witnessed this play and heard this message. That you'd help them to realize time is running out. And if they're ever going to do anything about their never dying soul, now's the time to do it. We'll praise you for what you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone stand.